Can somebody say amen? Amen? All right, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in that evil, in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what do you do? Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of what? Faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right, now we're talking about, in spiritual warfare here, we are calling this, I don't know where I put my title here. This is spiritual warfare number, volume 2, Facing the Giants, part 7. Facing the Giants. Part 7. All right, now, the teaching that I'm doing on Wednesday night is really drawing a very close parallel with the teaching that I'm doing on Sunday. And I said something about what's going on in the earth. What's happening a lot is that people are trying to build bigger buildings without building bigger people. I want you to see what I mean by that. I mean that it's okay to get more people, but what are you doing with the ones that you've got? That Gideon had picked, I think, 32,000 when God told him to go up against the enemy. And God had to get him down to how many? 300. Because it's amazing what you can do with 300 committed folk. People that are walking. Walking. Anytime you see walking, pretty much in the scriptures, both old and new, it has to do with spiritual maturity. There are spirits sent to keep you from growing spiritually. There are spirits sent to do that. And keep you from feeling a spiritual authority that God has given you so that you could take authority in the places that he sends you so that the kingdom will manifest. And so God even told Abraham, don't flip to all these scriptures, just put them up on the board. In chapter 17 and verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me. And when it was time to bring down the walls of Jericho, they had to do what around the wall? They had to walk around the wall. In the New Testament, there was a man who had been by this pool for 38 years. He said, rise, come on, stand up on your feet and what? Walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. Walking is spiritual maturity. And there are spirits sent to keep you a cripple or to make you a cripple, to make you so you can't walk or you have to depend on man. And that is not where God wants you. I'm talking spiritually now because he doesn't want you to be able to call things that be not as though they were. That enemy doesn't. Because that's a symbol of spiritual authority and spiritual growth. So he wants to keep you down. Some people call it a Tiny Tim spirit. You remember the Christmas carol, the thing when Tiny Tim was there? Same thing with Mephibosheth. If you remember, Mephibosheth was a son of Jonathan, and he got dropped when he was a baby and he couldn't walk. But David went and got him. So now you're going to sit at my table. Now my point to you is that this whole idea about spiritual maturity is something that we have to have if we're going in to fight those giants, because we have to be mature enough to not be caught by things that immature people are caught by. Well, I didn't like what the pastor said, so I'm not coming back. Well, you need to come back. You need to come back. But this is what I'm saying. See, once you get spiritually mature, you're not running from trouble. You're making trouble. Let me show you what he says about that. And this is found over in 1 Kings chapter 18. This is when Ahab, the king, was approaching Elijah, all right? Elijah was a prophet, as you know. And look at verse 17, and look what he says. He says, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that what? Troubleth Israel." See, you're out here to make trouble. See, Abraham and them were doing all kind of ungodly things, and when you come in, it's like you're making trouble. But you can't shrink back from that. David didn't shrink back from what Goliath was talking about. And you don't when you're spiritually mature. Notice David was 16, 17 years old. Everybody else had been trained in war, so forth and so on. But David knew his God. And that's what makes you spiritually mature. Not how many times you sing in the choir or whatever have you. Because I've seen people do a lot of good things. I mean, sing in the choir, usher, whatever have you. But meantime, you better get that word. Because if you're with that group that's moving forward, I'm telling you, that enemy doesn't like it. And we're going to be praying about some things, and Friday we're going to show you a film, kind of a little movie on, not a movie, but a little documentary on the witch that switched. And show you what he says you're up against. Because a lot of people don't know. So, what we said is that trying to build bigger buildings without training up people to walk. And this is what we need to do. God said, train them up and send them out. Now, what we're doing is sending people out to their giftings, to their grace, to their wealthy place, to their place where God has called them to be able to be used by him to bring forth the kingdom. So whatever your profession is, whatever have you. Okay. Now, what we said is that as we go forth, we've got to do something with fear. Because we said that's the first it that was spoken about in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, please, in verse 1. And he said, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister." Okay? "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise." There it is. "And go over this Jordan, and thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot," that sounds like walking to me, "shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." That is a scripture that he gave me to take this shopping mall. That scripture right there. I said, "Lord, how am I going to take it?" He said, Joshua 1:8, meditate it. "Every place that I lead you, that your soles of your foot tread upon, I've given it to you." Next verse. From the wilderness of Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Say, going down of the sun.
Going down of the sun.
The sun rises on what side? The east, and it sets on what?
The west.
It goes from right to left. Got it? Right is truth. Left is grace. See, what happens sometimes is people try to preach all grace and no truth or law or no command. And then with all grace, people think they can just do anything. Bad place to be. And you'll find that when it comes in with all grace, then the Hittites reign over in that area. But when you have God's truth, glory to God, that's when you reign over the Hittites. So they both go together. Jesus was full of what? Grace and truth. Full of both of them. All right? But the law came first before grace. So when you come in, that's when you have to come in by truth, and it's by grace are you saved. Are you with me? All right? Look at the next verse. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll not fail you, nor what? Forsake you. Now, as he was with Moses, so we looked and saw how he was with Moses. That's found in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. That's the way he was with Moses. He's going to be with you. So in Exodus 23, behold, I send my angel before you, talking to Moses now, and to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Where had he prepared for you? He prepared a place for you. He's got promises for you. Say amen to this.
Amen.
All right. And keep going. Beware of him now and obey his voice. Don't provoke him because he won't pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Look at the next verse. And but if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy to your enemies. I'll be an adversary to your adversaries. Glory to God. For my angels shall go before you and bring you into the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites. And what'll I do? I'm going to cut them off. Now, this is key because we've got to know that God is going to do the work. That the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And we've got to stay with that and know that God is going to fight our battles. Now, for him to fight our battles, we've got to make sure that we don't fear. Because when you fear, you drop your connection with the one who's fighting for you. Glory to God. You can't let fear come in, because Job said this, the thing that I what? Feared most, what happened to me? It came upon me. So when you get in those battles, you've got to keep your mind on him. You've got to know that he is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And whatever you say, he's going to back you up. Isn't that wonderful? So what we did last time, well, let me go into that in just a minute. Praise God. I'm trying to move kind of fast. All right, let's look at going from one place to another. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, please, in verse 35. And I want you to see this. This is very, very, very good. Glory to God. Folks, we are getting into some stuff here on Sunday mornings that we're going where no man has gone before. Praise God. Amen. Live long and prosper. Amen. Okay? I want you to see this. Because all this works by faith. Say, by faith.
By faith.
All this works by faith. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. Now, I told you about that. That the devil beats. He beats on your vessel. Your vessel is your body, your mind. And he beats on it. Why? Because he wants to penetrate. Now, what does he want to penetrate with? With a thought. You remember the Bible says, take no thought. See, you can take it, but don't take it. If it's a thought that's against the word of God, don't take it. See, because once that thought gets in there, you got to get it out. And it's rougher to get that thing out. Say amen to this. So I don't care whether it's from the doctor. I don't care if it's over. They're trained to do what they do. But I've got to go to the Word of God, and I got to see what God says about it. Because if that thing occupies me and so forth, then I would have submitted to what it says. Now, look what he says. And the waves beat into the ship, it was now full. He was on the hinder part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said to him, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? I'm saying this, I'm putting it in my own words. And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Watch this. And he came and he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith. So would you agree that faith was the essential ingredient in having them to get over? Yes. All right. Now we know faith works by what? Love. So we know we have to have love. But this faith was key for them going into the place where God has sent them. Now, you can see the devil didn't want them to get there. And usually, if you feel a lot of opposition, it's because you're headed for your wealthy place. You're headed for somewhere. You got what I'm saying? And you'll feel people somehow start talking about you, whatever have you. Then just brace up. Get ready for love. Because your faith has got to keep working. Are you with me? All right, next verse. And he said this. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the what? Sea obey him. Now, next verse. And they came over to the other side of the sea of the country of the Gadarenes. Okay? Now, the thought was that the Gadarenes were the place where mainly the Girgashites hang out. And it has to do with clay dwellers. These are people who look at the hogs because hogs look down. Glory to God. I'm not going to even go into that. Let's keep going. And they came over to the other side. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. All right. So something was controlling the coastline. Something was preventing them from going from where they were to where God was sending them. And it had controlled the coastline to the point that it had stirred up a storm that Jesus had to say, Peace be still. And the storm didn't pass. It quit. And I want you to see that because that's part of abundant living. You don't wait on it to pass. It quits. All right, now, in this, are y'all with me now? So they meet this man. So here's a picture. There are all kinds of spiritual forces assisting the Gentiles to keep you out of that wealthy place. Because Satan read the book that in Isaiah chapter 60, it says that the wealth is coming over into your hands. It said, no, all of this, arise, shine, for the light has come, so forth and so on. But it's coming over to your hand. In Isaiah 61, 62, same thing. So the Bible talks about, glory to God, I got so much I want to say. But all good, it's all good. Okay, all good. So look at Exodus chapter 7. Over in Exodus chapter 7, I'm almost done. I know we got to go. Exodus chapter 7. No, we don't? Oh. I just been free. Freedom. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. No, I'm about to stop. All right? This is Moses. Want the word? We want the word. We want the word. All right, okay. We got to write a song to that. Praise God. All right. Exodus chapter 7. Here's Moses going down. He's going down here to to Egypt. He's going to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Look at verse 8. All right? And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show me a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod, cast it before the Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so, and the Lord had, as the Lord had commanded. And then Aaron cast his rod before Pharaoh and before the serpent, and it became as a serpent. And Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. And they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Okay? Now, what am I saying to you? I said there are all kinds of forces assisting the Gentiles. Got it? Now, these are spiritual forces that are backing the Gentiles. When I say Gentiles, I mean people who don't know God, who are being used by the enemy to do something. And for the most part, they're being used by the enemy to keep the Egyptians, keep the Israelites enslaved. So it was more than a natural problem that the enemy uses sorcery. And you wait till you come here on Friday, I'm going to show you this. He uses sorcery to affect their minds and keeps them from even thinking about leaving. There's more to a person being broke. That, Lord, I'm not going to even get into it. Now, these are spiritual forces. Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. If I can get you to see this, we are there. Deuteronomy 7 says, and with the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land where you go into possession, and has cast out many nations before you. The who? Hittites, the who? Girgashites, the who? Amorites, the who? Canaanites, the who? Perizzites, the who? Hivites, the who? Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier. You can't defeat them naturally. So my point to you is I've got to go into a place, to a battle, that naturally I can't win. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So now I've got to first go into a strong man's house. That's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 27. I've got to first go into a strong man's house. Glory to God. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first do what? Bind the strong man. And what then will he do? He's going to spoil his house. What does spoil mean, somebody? I want to take everything he stole. Because everything the devil has is stolen property. And you and I have come to take it all back, including the people. So we've got to enter into this strong man's house. Now, this strong man's house has gates. And look what it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, please. It has gates. Whoever possesses the gates is the one who is stronger. And look what it says in verse 13 of Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, now who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some said you are Elias or Jeremiah, the one of the prophets. He said, well, who do you say that I am? And Simon answered and said to him, thou art the who? Christ, the Son of the living who? God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this what?
Rock.
This rock, I will build my what?
Church.
And the gates of what?
Hell.
Keep going. Shall not prevail against that. There shouldn't be any obstacle, anything that Satan puts up that can keep you from moving forward and taking more land. It shouldn't be any obstacle. Lord, have mercy. Don't see it. Here's the key. Glory to God. I got to preach, man. Don't see anything superior to you except God. Is money superior to you? No. Is sickness superior to you? See, whatever it is, don't see it. You've got to walk with a consciousness of superiority. I'm not saying you're all that. I'm saying you're who he says you are. And he says that you are an overcomer. You, whatever is in your path is going to have to give way or give up. It doesn't make any difference what it is. You're going in and going to take what God has for you. And the thing, Lord have mercy, you're not taking it from God because he's not holding it. You're taking something that he's given you that Satan is sitting on. And our job is to dispossess the devil. It is not the people that shooting everybody. It's a spirit that driving them. And when you get a hold of that, you will know that if you can just get the devil bound in a place, all the spirits will leave. And the activity that they were producing will leave. Now you got to see, I know some of you looking at that, but the church's job is to not come down out of that place of superiority. That when I was at Lake and Pulaski, that lady came in there and said, they're selling drugs every day, and how can I get them out of here? God said, tell that lady to get this oil, you bless it, give it to her, tell her to put it up and down the street, and then once she does that, you just tell her to do that. And now I didn't know how it was going to happen. But she took the oil, put it down the middle of the street like I told her, and then the next day they came out for one day, or 1 hour, pardon me, and they sold drugs for 1 hour, and they said, let's get out of here. And they never came back. Now, notice, she didn't call Popo, the police. She didn't form a block club. She went and attacked that problem from the spirit. And I'm telling you, we can point at the policeman, we can point at this man, we can point at guns, we can point at that, but what's driving that is a spirit. And if he's not using a weapon like that, he's going to use something else. He's going to use something, but he wants to keep people fighting with people because that's his nature. But you and I know better. We're going to be going into places and announce the kingdom has come to this place. The kingdom has come. And when we announce that, all those innumerable number of angels will come into that place. I'm telling you, last night, for some reason, I couldn't sleep. I woke up and some thoughts were hitting me about some things that I've been dealing with, and they kept hitting me. And I said, devil, wait a minute. I said, I'm not going to even get up. I'm going to lay on this pillow and I'm going to bind you. I'm going to bind you sideways. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Ask my wife. I slept till almost 6 o'clock. Now, that's hard for me to sleep that long because I get up early for prayer. And I slept almost 6 o'clock. Slept like a baby, just deep sleep, dreaming and so forth, having pleasant dreams. Notice what I had to do. I thought it was me at first thinking like that. But I saw when it was kept persisting, it kept hammering. And then I know, wait a minute, that's not me. This is something else hammering like this. And then I bind that devil, cast him out. I said, Lord, send angels now to bind up, chain up, and drag out every disobedient spirit. And then fill this house with your presence. Boom, fill the house with presence. Slept like a baby, just like Jesus did on that boat. I'm telling you, if you're having a nightmare, you bind that spirit. Say amen. It's coming out of a spirit of fear. Somehow he got into something and he's trying to get you to think some thoughts that are not of God. But now we go shift the battle. Faith shifts the battle. No longer are you going to fight your own battles. You're going to speak it. because you are royalty. You are the one seated with him in heavenly places, and you have been authorized to decree a thing, and it shall be established, and you command, and angels will hearken to the words that you speak, as you speak the word of God, and you speak it fearlessly, knowing that whatever you say, God will do. Now, I said, and I'm going into it on Sunday, that there's something called vengeance of the Lord. And when the vengeance of the Lord shows up, everything stops. I'm talking about whatever Satan has planned for your life that the enemy has been holding back, you are breaking forth starting today. There it, come on. We're going to talk about vengeance. God is not out to kill a folk, but he is out to tell the folk, get out of your way. Because if they don't get out of your way, he'll warn them one time. He'll warn them again. He'll warn them again. And I'm here to tell you that he is not going to let anything touch you. Say amen to that. So let's end this with Psalm chapter 91 in the Message translation, please. Psalm 91 in the Message translation. Glory to God. You must know you cannot fear, because if you do fear, it'll drop your ability to have God's ability to work on your behalf. You who sit down in the high God, in the high God's presence, glory to God, spend the night in the Shaddai's shadow. Glory to God. Amen. Say this: God, you are my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe. It tells you what to say. See, it says, say unto the Lord. See, say this. Okay, you're safe. Next verse, please. Glory to God. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing. Not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, glory to God, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others come all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched, watch it all from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God is your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil cannot get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes, and kick young lions and serpents from the path. Glory to God. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side at bad times, and I rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation, a Sabbath song. Is that it? All right, that's it. Praise God. Now, he's not only going to rescue you, but he's going to give you a party. I'm ready for my party. The party means I get some presents. So first, you got to enter in. And then we got to conquer. I didn't go through that tonight. But then you have to possess. All three of them run together. And possess means you control it from within inside. That you've got to ultimately take control of that community. And that's what it's all about, us taking control of the mountain. Did you get something out of that tonight?
Hey.
Woo! Glory to God. Say this to me, in the name of Jesus.
I fear no evil.
For the Lord is with me.
From this day,
I will never allow fear again to come into my mind or enter into my heart. I am a fearless person.
I am a believer,
and the spirit of fear cannot occupy this vessel.
I am
going to the other side. Whatever I have been working on that's been held up and delayed
is being released
tonight. This is my jubilee.
This is my time of
restoration.
And not only
am I going to be delivered,
but I'm going to have a party.
And I'm going to invite all my friends.
And I'm going to celebrate.
Some of them will swim in my swimming pool.
Some of them will come in my airplanes.
Some of them will come in their own airplanes.
But we're going to meet together.
And we're going to have a big celebration.
Because the Lord is our refuge and our strength.
Now give God praise and receive that in Jesus' name.
And let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you something. I didn't say that other piece that I just said. That didn't come. I wasn't thinking about that. That came from the Spirit of God. When he said, and some of them will come in their own airplane.
I didn't think of that, folks. That came from the Spirit of God.
So somebody in here is about to be filthy rich.
I listen.
Now, don't go out of here and let them talk about me. Well, he just talking about that money. Tell them, say, hey, just keep the comments to yourself. That's all right. You all right. Praise God. And then once you get your money, you know, buy them a car or something like that. And tell them, this is what Pastor taught me. He taught me this. Take care of you. Come on, here's a Mercedes. Here's $600 for you.
Let them know that we serve a wonderful God. Think about it. Angels are with you right now. He said, watch your mouth. Don't say anything wrong. If you don't want it to come to pass, if that word of God didn't say it, don't you say it. And there's some stuff you cannot repeat because God didn't say it.
If you're here, God spoke in your heart about being born again. Let me pray for you right now. So whoever that is, listen, don't be ashamed of it. This is the time that we bring people in to the kingdom of God, and you got to do it yourself. In other words, every person has to make up their own mind if they want to be a part of God's army, want to come into the kingdom of God. When I was